Beloved, I have realized a deeper connection with the truth and the real. Watching my daily life process, I certainly could feel deep inside that it doesn't matter if I'm happy, sad, anxious, or whatever, but the truth and reality are underneath all of it. And that I should even be more aware when I'm happy, so I don't lose myself in the excitement of it. I'm trying in every way, Dhamma Mitra, to remind you that you are not the one you think you are. And that one is the only one who can be happy, sad, anxious, or whatever. But you are the truth underneath that. And that is the whole key. But it doesn't matter how much you hear it. It doesn't shift anything before you realize it. You have a glimpse into it. And it is true, you should be more aware when you are happy. Because then it's easier to lose yourself. Because you've been so sad, so involved in your problems, in the mind. So the first is to change you from the negative to the positive. Everybody wants to be happy. You almost never hear about somebody who is real happy. Everything is just on the surface. So that shift is immense in itself. Then when you become happy, yes, then you have to take notice, because now you can easily lose that. You can spill it. You can waste it. Because you get so excited. Now at last you are happy. But the journey doesn't stop at happiness. That is just the balance from all the sadness, all the negative. You first have to become positive, to be happy, to feel good, to have a positive outlook in life, to be creative, to enjoy. So it is right. You have to take notice. Because it's very easy then you just waste it in your excitement. The truth is beyond positive and negative, is beyond all opposites. So it's a good insight. It doesn't matter if you are happy or sad. That comes and goes. What matters is what is there all the time, beyond the opposite, beyond happiness and sadness? These insights brought me even more strength and relaxation to allow everything to pass through me and not cling to any of those emotions or moods. And life will always prepare some good test for you to see if you get involved. First it is the mind, then it is deeper than the mind, the emotions. Deeper than the emotions is the moods. This is the ways you can get lost. The moods more difficult because they are deeper. Emotions more difficult, is deeper. The mind difficult also, because you're not used to studying your mind. Easier than the mind is to study the body, the physical. This is the different steps. You have to practice with the body, become more conscious in your physical body. That's why all the Buddhas have talked about, be aware how you move, how you eat, then bring it into how you think, how you speak. No, this is coming up from the inside. How you feel, your emotions, your moods. When all this is in balance, that you are not ruled by it. You are not ruled by the body, not by the mind, not by the emotions, not by your moods. Then you're ready for freedom. So it is a very good insight. It just has to get settled now. Because this insight can give you liberation itself. It can also pass. And again you get involved in the moods, in your emotions, in your thinking, in your so-called problems in life. And then the mind is so tricky, it comes up with something that it gets you involved. Is this seeing things as they are? Yes, it's seeing things as they are. And to see things as they are is very easy if you are. And that's what we're trying here, that you just become more real. And it's happening more and more, deeper and deeper, because now you are start coming back. A different kind of awareness is coming up in you. It's not, you are not just on the surface anymore. We have gone deeper. Then is a different wisdom that comes, not the thinking mind, but your true insight, your true wisdom. And they always said, the easiest, if you want to have wisdom, be with the wise. This is the easiest, be in satsang. Because it will transform you by itself. Love and devoted to you, my beloved Master, Dhamma Mitra. Beloved Master, I want to share with you that beautiful things are happening. Yes, now you are sharing beautiful things are happening, I know. Because you have stayed put. This is the proof. You just stay and transformation will happen by itself. You don't believe it, the mind cannot believe it. But suddenly you wake up one day and you realize something has shifted. I'm living in a different reality. This is beyond my doing, as if I become more part of existence, stepping more out of my own way. More joy, silence, relaxation, flow, softness, more dedication. Wow, this is just great. I desire for more. It is just great. It is the greatest. When you have felt it, then the desire for more, the dedication, the totality, it comes by itself. Otherwise, it can just be an idea in the mind. I'm total, I'm surrendered, I'm devoted. But this is what I remind you all the time, every day. This comes from your inner understanding, your own realization, your own experience. Then it comes. It's just natural. If you are not touched by the divine, by the beyond, how can you then follow the divine? It's impossible. You have to be touched in some way. And then, wow, this is just great. It is great. It is the greatest. I also want to share an issue I have. Even though I'm so called grown up, what we bother, you are grown up? When did you get grown up? You remember the time? You remember the day it happened? No? Even I don't remember. when I got grown up. What is this grown up? It sounds a little serious. Grown up. What does this grown up mean? It means grown up, no, you can't have fun anymore. Huh? You have entered the masses of the serious grown ups who behave and functioning very good in society. Like good soldiers. That is the grown ups. They are easy to rule. You just have a social security number. You behave very good. You know what you can expect from them. Children are very unruly, spontaneous. Even though I'm so-called grown-up, the hurt unseen child is still residing inside, sometimes having a desperate need to be seen. Yes, so transform this hurt child into a happy child. This hurt must be from the old, something in the past. But the past is not here. So why be hurt? What is hurting you now? Anything? No. That's what I'm trying to convey to you. Realize things as they are. You are not a little hurt child. Maybe you have been a hurt child. Maybe you have been abused. Maybe you have had many mental problems. Not now. Yahoo! When you gonna accept it? For the mind is so difficult to accept things as they are. It's not here anymore. Still you are carrying like a burden. This unseen child doesn't respond consciously in situation with people. No, because this unseen children doesn't respond so consciously. They are a bit unconscious. They are spontaneous, but they are unconscious. That is the thing when you grow up, then you are a grown-up, so-called mature, but you still have the innocence in you. And you can act conscious, but innocent. That is the definition, one of the definition of a wise man. He's conscious and he's also innocent. A child is just innocent, he's not wise. These two combinations. So if you are responding, which is what everybody is doing, from the past, then it's not conscious because you are not responding to the situation now. To be totally responding to the situation now, which is totally new, you have to be new. You follow? You have to be fresh. Then you meet every situation is new, because you are new. You cannot do it. That is the dilemma. It comes by itself. When you are in touch with the fresh, with the new, with the moment, then you respond, now everything is fresh. Your whole energy is there. Otherwise you're carrying a hurt child, a hurt husband, a hurt wife, a hurt this, a hurt that. Or that you hurt that. And then you're not here. All this will color your actions. That's why it's so important to unburden yourself, to become clean of the past. Nothing can happen before the past is, you are freed of it. Yeah, the past is there, but you are not identified with it. You have realized something deeper. These feelings of hurt happens now and then. Luckily, I have more distance now, and I can let go more easily of these feelings, so it's so good. That's all what you can ask for with Buddha. You have more distance. You know it's possible. And going further on this pathless path, more and more distance. More and more distance. One day you see, you can't even see it. You have so much distance, you can't even see it. Then don't go and look for it then. Things surface and they can pass. It is all how it is supposed to be. With a thousand thanks to you for being this light of love and consciousness at your feet, love, Vibhura. This is what happens listening, being with the Guru in satsang. You start seeing, they always said in India, by hearing you can get transformed. By seeing you can get transformed. By touch you can get transformed. This is the different ways. That is how it can happen. By feeling you can get transformed. But you have to have the truth. Then it transforms you by itself. If you are not in your own way, which you are saying you're getting out more and more of your own way. It's very good. But from one thing to the other, how is the strawberries going? Not so good.
So
but who cares? Who cares? Just become a strawberry yourself. The good thing with strawberries, they have no problems. Because no mind. Maybe that's why they are so good. It's something funny with strawberries. Everybody loves it. Because they're very innocent people. That's why I always said one of the best professions you can have is to sell ice cream, because it makes people happy. They buy ice cream. I remember coming back to the ashram after Osho had left his body. I had been away for many years in the Himalayas. And they wanted me to get involved with the group and therapy and trainings again. And I said, no, the only thing I can do is to sell ice cream. No, it's finished with all therapy. But to sell ice cream, I could do. But it ended up with, I just ate the ice cream. So useless. But happy. Beloved Swa, I stole some words from Kabir to try to express a little how I feel. That's okay, Kalam. Kabir won't mind. This is the place for his words. So this is where he will get very happy that his words are again spoken to people that can receive it, can understand it, can feel it. That's what these words are for. He says, it is the mercy of my true guru that has made me to know the unknown. The mercy of my true guru. That is how it happens. Always when it happens, how did it happen? You can only call it grace, mercy. I have brought my love and my meditation into the land where there is no sun and moon, nor day and night. He's saying, I have brought my love, my meditation, my longing into the land where there is no sun and no moon, no day and no night. That means beyond the opposites, beyond negative and positive, beyond all dualities. That is the kingdom of the Guru. That's what Jesus says. In my kingdom, they ask, how will it be in your kingdom, in the kingdom of God? They are wondering, how will it be there? And he says, it will be no more time. No more time. What kind of answer is this? It's unheard of. That is totally a Zen sentence. It's from a true meditator. In my kingdom, O God, there is no more time. What does that mean? It's just now. All past is gone. All future is not there. We are totally present. That's how it will be in the kingdom. And it's not my God, it is in the kingdom of God. Of course, the Christians have made it my God, your God, Muhammad, Jesus, all this nonsense. But that's how any person who goes to find their inner kingdom, they realize there's no more time. They live in freedom. That's what Kabir means. I have brought my love and my meditation into the land where there is no sun and moon, no day or night. Without eating, I have tasted the sweetness of nectar. And without water, I have quenched my thirst. How is it possible? Without eating, you are full. Without drinking, you are totally quenched. You cannot live by bread alone. You have something else, unseen, which most human beings never taste, that is so nourishing. And when you just taste it, you will feel so fulfilled that you forget everything. That is the nectar. Where there is the response of delight. And that is the response when you have tasted that, when you've been drinking that. Then is the response of delight, of bliss. That is the response. You are just in awe, in wonder. How is it possible? There is the fullness of joy. Before whom can that joy be uttered? Kabir says, who can I tell? Who can I share this with? Who can understand? That has always been the dilemma. How can anybody understand? Before whom can that joy be uttered? That's why they're always around the mystics, they attract people who are thirsty. Because it's a law of existence that this should be shared. But it cannot be shared to anybody. It has to be shared to those who are thirsty. Kabir said, to whom can this be shared? It's not for anybody. You can scream it from the housetops. You can share it in the street. They won't understand. You have to have some people that are ready to hear it, who are ready to get intimate. That is the only one he can share it with. Dance, my heart, dance today with joy. The forces of love will fill the days and nights with music, and the world is listening to its melodies. The whole world is listening. When you are happy, the whole world is happy. Because you are the world. When you are sad, everything is sad. You are this world. You are existence. When you dance, everything, the forces of love, will dance. the mountains, the ocean, and the earth dances. Everything dances. Everything is in ecstasy when you are in touch with the ecstasy. You are heaven and hell. You can be in pain, suffering, sorrow. You can be in bliss, ecstasy, silence, gratefulness. It is the mercy of my Guru that has made me to know this unknown taste, says Kabir. The world of man dances in laughter and tears. Kabir says, the Guru is beyond words, and great is the good fortune of the disciple. The Guru is beyond words, because if you're listening, if you are stuck in the words, then you are lost. Even the Guru's words, the Guru is not in the words. Of course, the Guru's words are much more powerful than any other words, because they can speak to your heart, if your heart is open. They can be very, very powerful. They are just words, but they are beyond words, because they come from the beyond. But the Guru, the true Guru, is beyond words, because it's not the words, it's not the form. But still, through the Guru, something of the untouched, unheard, is heard. How is that possible that this happens? You hear something that is unheard, that is not possible to hear, and still you have heard it. You feel something that is so exquisite. How is this possible? You realize something that you never thought you could realize. This is the grace of the Guru. And they say that the Guru and the disciple is the greatest love affair. No love affair comes close. Because it's beyond the physical, it's beyond the body. It's just pure love, pure consciousness. It means you can go beyond. Kabir says, the Guru is great beyond words, and great is the good fortune of the disciple. Great is the good fortune. Yeah. If it is a true disciple, and only a true disciple can see the true Guru. If you are too lost in your mind, you will project your own mind. What Kabir said, the same all the masters have said. Even Buddha said, the most fortunate of man is the one who found the master. The most fortunate, this is exactly the same Kabir says. Great is the good fortune of the disciple. And the disciple might not have any idea how good his fortune is. Still, the mind goes on arguing inside, having some responses, getting hurt, projecting, instead of just listening. How can you listen if you are too much in the way? It's impossible. First, empty yourself, then the Guru can speak straight from source to source. That is the only way. Gratitude to the Beloved at your feet, Kalam. Kalam, you are such a good translator there. You're such a lucky man. Siana is so good in English. But he not. He's getting there, no? This is the mystery of the guru. Even the enlightened one, even the Buddha said, is the most fortunate, the one who finds his guru, his master. But in the ordinary world, people are very much against the guru, against the master. Of course, because they are protecting their unconsciousness. How can you accept the light if you live in the darkness? You have to be ready to transform. Otherwise, you will be against. And it's always been like that. See things as they are, then everything you understand very easily. Out of the unconsciousness, they resist, they judge, and they suffer. What to do? Have a cup of tea, maybe. No, the rain came, and that was so good.
Take you anywhere.
my beloved master. I have to share out of my gratitude. And having stayed in the camp was very special. Living with my beloved brothers, and also for having rescued a happy period of my youth, my wild side. During that time, I would escape the city whenever was possible, and I would camp in the forest, by the lakes and the beaches. I felt integrated with nature and recharged when I came back. You see, Mahendra, when you are young, then you are spontaneous, and it's something inbuilt in you that we forget when we grow older, that knows this free spirit, this wild spirit, that you want to go to the mountains, to the forest, to the beaches, be in nature. Because you are nature. And the more natural you are, the more you will feel the attraction, the more you will enjoy it. If you are not natural, like human beings has become now, they can't enjoy. They can only enjoy inside. The TV, the music, the computer. That's why I always say you have to be wild. In the beginning you have to be wild. You have to reclaim this free spirit, this wildness. Then it will settle again. You have to flush yourself out, all this stuckness, from being too civilized. I only want you to be in touch with the nature, in touch with the natural in you, and with nature, being playful, spontaneous. This is what I want, and it's working, and then you are happy. Nature brought me peace and freedom, so much trust in myself, giving me the courage to travel, hitchhiking without a destiny to many places in Brazil and later in Europe. Still, I did not feel whole. Something was missing. My education made me return to the normal life, and then that whole story was created. Much suffering in the hope of becoming somebody. Isn't it amazing? That is the normal life. Anybody who is sane does not want to be normal then. Much suffering in the hope of becoming somebody. All this cycle was needed, so many failures, only so I could recognize, after conquering many, many dreams, that I did not know anything. Most of the time that comes too late in life. And only then I was worthy to find my master. That is the time, because now you have lived, you have experienced life, you have gone through your dreams, you have fulfilled your dreams, and it didn't fulfill you. No dreams will give you anything that is worth having. It will all go, because it's dreams. Only the real will make you happy. So this is how it should be. You should be tired of the world. That's how it always has been in the East. When you go to the guru, you means, no, you are realized, you won't find it in this physical world. You won't find it in the world of appearance. You won't find it in the Maya, in the samsara, in the dreams, in the illusions. It means something else. No, you have understood by your own intelligence, your own experience, that there's something more to life than the so-called normal, than the dull, than the sleepiness. Then the true search can start. And they always say, when the disciple is ready, the master appears. Now again, in touch with nature, once again leaving my wild side, my beloved. It shows the way of beauty, of the simple, simply enjoying life, true love, a state of spirit which I had never accessed before, a much higher energy. Yeah, I know it will be much more beautiful because you are wiser by your life experience. When you are a child, you can't enjoy so much. You enjoy much more when you have lost something, and then you find it. And this is the most precious to find again. So many things can give you great joy. You have lost your diamond ring, then after 1 year you find it. You will flip out so happy. It's nothing compared to finding yourself, to finding the real. Very few people find that. And then, of course, a state of spirit which I have never accessed before, a much higher energy. Yeah, because now you almost have given up hope. You had also become just normal, dull, sleepy. And then again, life comes. Isn't that amazing? Once when I was a child contemplating an amazing sight, my mother said that the beauty was inside the eyes of the one who sees. You must have a wise mother. But sometimes even the wise ones forget that they are wise. Then otherwise one has to remind them. It's okay. No, it's okay, Ali Mama. No? Huh? She kept an eye on you. But sometimes it's easier to keep an eye on somebody than to keep an eye on yourself. The beauty was inside the eyes of the one who sees. I could not understand it, since I thought it was out there for everyone to see. Of course you cannot understand, because as a young child or a young man, the whole attention is outside. It's not yet on the inside. It's not on the watcher. You are the outside. The whole journey is to come back to the watcher, to yourself. Now, a deeper realization. I perceive that the beauty dwells inside the heart that feels, is such a mystery. No wonder I found the master of beauty, of aesthetics, of love and silence. All this love makes me realize for the first time all the simple things that have always been around, waiting for my sight. For the first time. That is very strong words. It's amazing. For the first time, it is a new morning, a new dawn. That's what I mean. You could have seen it before. But with consciousness, it is for the first time. This is the mystery. You are living the mystery. The watcher is taking notice. Wow. No words could express such a gratitude. What an ecstasy to bow down at your presence, forever at your feet, under and around, full of love, yours, Mahendra. This is a great place for many things, but also just to reclaim your free spirit, which is so crippled in so many because of this so-called being normal, living in the society, becoming somebody. So you have to practice a little bit just to have fun. Just that's why I provided the forest, the mountain, the river, everything. Even I build that deck in the tree for you so you can climb there and sit. And we're not going to stop there. We're going to build many decks, and I also want some underground caves. So just prepare yourself and plan and buy some extra shovels, and then you can start, because it takes a little manual labor. But it's worth it. We should have many hidden places around. And now when you more and more people are getting into it and seeing this so beautiful, then we can have that many hidden places. You can go walking in the forest and then suddenly you find a place. Huh? When I was a child, then I was not interested in the computers and the internet, most probably because it wasn't there. But but it's so much more healthy. When I look at the kids today, they have lost all their childhood because of these devices, which can be very good in the world. But if it's not used with consciousness, it's a disaster. And that's what it is, because who is conscious? So it's much more bad for you than it's good for you. We always went, me and my friends in the forest, to build places and teepees and little caves and put the moss and the trees and branches around. Nobody could see it, and we had just one place we could enter. And then we could see, I don't even know what we were doing there. We just enjoyed sitting in there in our own creation, part of nature. Nobody could see our secret place. From the outside, it just looked green, like mossy. Everything was just natural. This is beautiful. Then your creativity, you are one with nature. Now they are just doing very violent games. So good the rain came. Beloved Babaji, when I arrived here, I became enchanted by this wonderful place that you prepared as a background to the experiences and insights we live here. In the beginning of the silence, I was being struck by the memories of the past and my entire long life in its minimum details. Everything showing up in each corner of my mind. As I crossed your eyes in satsang, they were sparkling, reaching the bottom of my heart, a blue lightning reflecting eternity. This cannot be described. Immediately, I felt terror, a true panic in face of my insignificancy. My ego took hold of this to give me an ever-growing torture from which I could not escape. The feeling of doubt and anger came up together with all the tears. I wanted to give up. I could not get rid of it. I came with this to another satsang, decided to stay passive to the ego's chatter. When it was finished, I saw your loving figure leaving us. I looked at your back until you disappeared, and then I closed my eyes. I still saw the ego in its corner waiting, and then suddenly everything started disappearing. The body, the ego, the mind. And for the first time, there was no fear. Nothing mattered. A feeling of impotence before the unspeakable. And I noticed that I was in a space where an incomparable power and compassion was being manifest. I didn't even know how long I stayed there, but still, in the next day, I was depressed, sad, and always crying without any reason. I went to sleep with a heavy heart because I could not stop judging myself and having guilt for all the beauty that was happening. It's just a cleansing on a deep level. She understands. And I said, everything will come up, but you have gone through a long life and you are devoted to me, and this was just speeding up the process. And after you have gone such a deep insight, then of course the mind, the ego will rebel because it's trembling. But you know it. And you said for the first time in your life, there was no fear, nothing mattered. No, you know there is a space where there is no fear, where nothing matters. Where you are free, then who cares? Let the mind do its thing. It cannot hurt you. Accept it. You are free from it. Then, to my surprise, the next day brought the sun once again. And by mystery, I became light and willing, as if nothing had happened. I don't understand anything. You are not meant to understand anything. Because enough thinking, enough understanding, what do you need to understand? When there is no fear, when there is bliss, when there is God itself. It's just to bow down then, it's just to embrace it, it's just to disappear in it. the mind will always try to understand, and then it breaks down even the most beautiful. Today, during Vipassana, the ego again started to battle. I don't know how far it goes, but I think this is called hell. Yes, the ego is the hell. But you know there is a place that is untouched by the mind and the ego. So even though the mind and the ego is coming and giving you hell, be untouched. It cannot do anything. Just watch it. And you already do that. Just make that witnessing become stronger. Don't get involved. It can do whatever it wants to do, but you are free. I see, however, that you are always here, waiting to hold my hand and take me away from these abysses. Yes. I'm happy you see that, because I'm always there ready to hold your hand. No, you just take my hand and relax. And then no fear can come. And this realization increases more and more the feeling of this gratitude. With much love, I kiss your feet, Ali Mama. Very good, Ali Mama. You see, now they even all the power to you. Okay? It's time. You know it now. Accept it. And because you are so open, you love me, this comes up very strong. This is the cleansing. This is the holy fire. Let it go. Like that. One glimpse, one realization is enough. Then you know. Even your whole life you've been bothered. Now you know you are not the fear. For the first time. Then hold on to that. That will make you strong. No, even the Thunder God, he put it in now. Basta, enough is enough. All the good people, the whole existence will support you when you are real. May everyone believe the good news, be happy. Aum Shanti.
Thank you.